It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Iran holds its presidential election tomorrow, and it's more strictly controlled than ever. The government is trying to avoid a repeat of 2009, when allegations of vote rigging led to massive protests and violence. This time, security forces guard the streets, independent newspapers are under pressure, and the internet has slowed down. Still, a debate has emerged over a vital issue: Iran's devastated economy battered by U.S.-led sanctions. Our colleague Steve Inskeep has been reporting this week from Iran. He sent this story.
Iranians have lived a very long time with American sanctions, as we learned when we stepped into a shop called GM Auto Parts. It had the famous blue and white General Motors logo, though the sign, like almost everything else in the shop, looked decades old.
I see hubcaps, bumpers.
It was a spare parts store for old American cars. The silver-haired owner is Sadegh Janati. He showed us catalogs of cars and parts that he used to import from the United States in the 1970s. They came straight from GM, he said, until the years after Iran's 1979 revolution, when U.S. limits on trade with Iran began choking his business. To service old American cars like Janati's own Chevy Caprice Classic, he used to have a man in America ship him auto parts in the luggage of travelers. Then, just a few weeks ago, he had a revelation. He went on a pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Through our interpreter, he explained that the Saudis have many American cars and many spare parts stores which sold him spark plugs.
Okay, so you didn't go to Mecca to find auto parts. But you found auto parts in Mecca, and now you found a new supplier of auto parts.
Iranians have improvised this way for years, but the improvisation is getting desperate. U.S.-led sanctions aimed at pressuring Iran over its nuclear program grow tighter and tighter. The latest round of sanctions will make it hard for Iranians to get spare parts even for their European brand autos. Some business leaders say they're running out of options, and one of those leaders is Sadegh Samayi. He's a publisher who also runs an inspection service for imported goods.
What are some of the really big questions facing this country right now about its present, about its future?
Sanctions, definitely.
What to do about that?
We have to come to a certain conclusion with USA and Europe.
This has not been the official line of Iran's government. Up to now, the government has urged resistance to what it calls U.S. imperialism.
They say that we go around the sanctions, which is making life difficult, really difficult. Because I'm an inspector, and I see the goods coming to this country, and how difficult, how almost impossible is for certain traders and merchants to transfer money for the imported goods.
Banking sanctions are making it harder to complete transactions, and new sanctions also target Iran's currency, which has already collapsed in value over the last few years. U.S. sanctions are now among the biggest issues in Iran's presidential campaign. But not everybody agrees that it's time to cut a deal over Iran's nuclear program. Wednesday was the final day of campaigning allowed before Friday's election. And on Wednesday, we attended a rally for a leading candidate, Saeed Jalili. These cheers came from the women's section. Hundreds of women sitting in bleachers, every one dressed in black under the blazing sun. The candidate's male supporters spread out on a soccer field awaiting their candidate's arrival. A group of college students shook our hands, and then one pointed a finger at me.
The most important thing for us and Iran people is to be resist against United States, because you and your government attacked to us in economy. Okay.
This man gave his name as Ali. I asked him how Iran could survive its economic trouble, and he cited one of Jalali's major slogans, building a culture of resistance against the West.
A culture of resistance will improve the economy?
Yeah. I know. In our economy in Iran, there are many problems. Huge problem. Okay.
But he said an Islamic theory of economics, along with resistance culture, will help. Jalali has not made clear what this means, but he appeals to Iranians who simply do not believe they can or should give in to the United States. Soon, the college students sat cross-legged on the soccer field and joined the chants of death to America.
Mad bad America! Mad bad!
Saeed Jalali is Iran's nuclear negotiator. His views on everything from the nuclear issue to the role of women are believed to closely track those of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Jalali has the support of other prominent clerics, too. And so, to test the depth of that support, we visited a city that is full of clerics, the holy city of Qom, outside Tehran. It's a center of learning for Shia Muslims and also a destination for thousands of pilgrims, one of the most vital places for the Shia faithful. It was easy to find people here who supported Saeed Jalali for president, but their support was not unanimous. A cleric named Ali, who's studying in a theological school here, said he's voting for a different candidate, Iran's one-time foreign minister Ali Akbar Velayati.
Because he's a moderate person.
A moderate and quiet person? Would that make him different from Mr. Jalali or someone else?
By way of an answer, he said, we have an expression to move in second or third gear. A country needs moderation, he said. We don't have to move at a high speed. His candidate, Velayati, has publicly challenged Jalali's tough stance on negotiating with the United States. In a televised debate, in fact, several candidates sharply criticized each other's nuclear diplomacy, suggesting a divide in the country's elites. But that doesn't mean Iran is sure to bend. One possible reason Iran might not is expressed by a shopkeeper in the bazaar, in the gold market in Qom. Speaking with us in Spanish, he told us sanctions do not hurt everyone equally.
Muy difícil para gente, pero
no afecta el gobierno.
Pero el gobierno tiene mucho dinero, no importa.
Sanctions are very difficult for the people, he said, but the government is rich, so sanctions don't matter to them. We saw evidence of this back in Tehran, the capital. The city climbs up a mountainside. The elites tend to live on the high side in the cooler mountain air. And in that area, we discovered a string of upscale apartment buildings under construction. I see a building over here. I see another here. I see a building we're standing in, a building under construction across the street, almost done, one that's just beginning down there. The engineer overseeing the building where we stood had a simple explanation.
We have lots of rich people in Iran.
Even in hard times, when many people lose ground, some profit. Inflation means people with real estate or warehouses full of goods can sell for more. Smugglers profit, offering to slip in contraband. Larger corporations are still maneuvering to bypass Western sanctions when they can. Petrochemical products, for example, may not be sold to the European Union, but might still be sold to China. Iran's economy is teetering, but many firms are copying that GM auto parts guy on a grander scale, trying to hold off disaster as long as they can.
That's Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep reporting from Tehran.